My thought is the battle of our minds. I realize that every battle that we have, if you get down to it, it's really just right here. It's the battle that's in our minds. I've been thinking some about it and how played out in my mind and the way I've seen it in others. You know, when people, you get the impression that people don't like you, it's really only a battle of your mind. Because it really don't make no difference whether they like you or not. I've known a number of sisters that have actually lost their experience with the Lord because of the battle that they had over their appearance. It was monumental to them. It meant nothing to me what they look like, but it meant something to them. I don't think the world cared, but it mattered to them. I don't think the people around them noticed that much or cared that much about it, but it mattered to them. And it was a battle that was raging in their own minds about the perception that they gave off and how people saw them and those kind of things. And it wore on them. It wore on them. Continually wore on them. Almost always it was a hair issue. Well, in the ones I know, it was a hair. It was more than that, but it was a lot of hair issue. And it troubled them. It was on their mind. It was their biggest battle. But it wasn't a battle that was anyway literally fought or anything, but it was right in their minds. Right in their minds. And I've noticed, and I believe it's true tonight, can you name a battle that's not in your mind? Supposing somebody says, I don't like you, and I'm going to kill you if I get a chance. That will be a battle in your mind. That's where you'll battle that. What you should do. Are they really going to do it? Stay awake at night. What's my reaction? All of those things is a battle of our minds. A root of bitterness springing up is a battle in our minds. Jealousy is a battle of our minds. Temptation is a battle of our minds. And you know, all of these things, faith and lack of faith and trusting in the Lord is a battle of our minds. And because it is when we focus and look on that, and the Bible tells us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, gives us an illustration of our minds. What we ought to think about being purity. In that particular scripture was humility. We ought to have a mind of humility. We ought to have a mind of trusting the Lord. We ought to have a mind like that. But I want to present to you tonight, maybe that we can think about, because the battle is my mind, then how ought I to approach the things that come into my mind, or what should I do about those things in my mind? Do you know that it's the little things? The best place to deal with anything is in its infant stage. If the devil comes and presents a thought to your mind, I'm going to tell you it's easier to rebuke the thought than to have to try to get rid of it after you've wandered around for a few hours and let it be reoccurring. Winston Churchill said about the rise of Hitler, he said, it was easier to deal with him in his weakness than wait and deal with him in his strength. It would be easier, he warned against appeasing him and said, you better deal with him in his weakness. Because if you don't, you will have to deal with him in his power and strength. And he was right. It would have been very easy at one point for the world to have squashed it. But they wasn't willing to do it and may become a power that cost hundreds of thousands of millions of lives and damage all over. It was an enormous thing to have to deal with it after a while. It's easier to deal with these kind of things in the beginning stages of it. And Lord, help us to realize that the battle is in my mind. And it's easier to put restrictions. I know a lot of people don't like, I've always loved standards, folks. I'll just be honest with you. It was an appealing thing about the church to me before I was saved. And when I got saved, it was appealing. The standards, the view of holiness and the holiness. But I like it. I like being the way I am. I thank God for it. Some people don't like to even hear the word. But you know, the standards is a good perimeter to guard our minds against things that we're going to have to battle with in its power if we're not careful. If we go over those places, many times it's a place that we have to deal with something in a more powerful way than to take care of it when it's in its infant stage. I'm thinking about a situation that I run into years ago. I was talking to my boss when I went on the job about it, and he was telling me about the situation. There was a woman in the neighborhood who was known not to be totally sound all the time. She had some issues, and she wanted to expand out, so she was going to take karate lessons. Well, the karate instructor was this man that my boss just told me, said he wanted to take these karate lessons, so he went there too, and he knew about this firsthand. And this guy was giving karate lessons in the basement of his house, and so he would go there and do this, and this woman would come in, and this guy would give her these. Well, when he told me that right off, I said, you know, that's not a good idea. And he said, Marty, it's karate. And I said, yeah, I know it's karate. But I also know a little bit about life. Know a little bit about the nature of things, too. And that ain't a good idea. Well, he said, oh, he tried to tell me this and this. Well, after a while, there was a scandal in the community. With the man's wife right upstairs, the man has an affair with this woman that comes into his karate class. Well, then the boss is telling me, he said, you know, I thought it was kind of strange that I'd go to the karate class and she'd come to the karate class, but he was always paying more attention to her than he was me. And I said, you think I thought that was strange? You really thought that was strange? Are we really going to stick our head in the sands and say, no, those things don't happen. No, that ain't the way it is. We're going to be bigger than that. We're not talking about the grace of God in situations that we find ourselves in. We're talking about the way people put themselves into life plays. And I told him then, I said, I told you before, it was ridiculous to do that and expect nothing to come of it. It's ridiculous to put yourself into that kind of a place. There was an infant place, folks. It was the beginnings. You can say, well, and many times it may not. But are you willing for something like that? No, we're to guard those impressions of our minds. That's where the battle's at. The battle started with a thought, didn't it? Are you saying that they done that without a thought? No, there was a temptation. There was a thought. There was a leading into it. There was a working up to it. There was a time taken that the mind wasn't protected against. They didn't deal with it in a small place, and the power of it got too much. That's what happened. It overtook them. Their passion, their desire was overtaken by their action. We're to realize that we battle in our mind, and it's the little things that is important in our mind. It's the little thoughts. Folks, I want to tell you right now, young people, if you decide to be out in the world, or I like to say it to the young people in the world, don't start smoking. I said, well, why? Because it's easy to start and hard to quit. That's why. And then what are you going to do? See, it's just a thought now. It's a thought. It has no power. There's no power in the thought now. Well, I just like to do it. If somebody else is doing it, they offer it to me. Maybe I can look big, or maybe I can do something. But you know, it's hard to quit once you get started. And you know what it happens to people? And there's a real lesson in this, folks, because it spans out into a lot of things. When the person first says, "I think I'll take a smoke," and be like, cool, or impress my peers, or whatever young people do. I didn't do it, so I don't know about that, but it always looked like that to me. And they never think about 50 years later with these diseases on their body. I had an aunt who smoked for years and years and years. And it got down to the point that her body was failing her because of it. Her lungs were giving away. And they had put her on oxygen. And I looked at that situation and said, this is one of the most pitiful situations that I've ever seen. Here was this woman down at the end of her life. Her lungs was good. The elasticity was gone. It corrupted her lungs. And she's dying. And she's there with an oxygen mask going to get a breath to smoke her cigarette. She even at the end, folks, it started with a thought one day in her mind. Easy enough to have said no. Easy place to say, I don't want to go down that line. Easy enough to deal with it in that time. We will deal with the idea of sin. We'll deal with the idea of temptation. We'll deal with the idea of our passions, our lusts. We'll deal with it in its littleness, in its weakness. Or we'll deal with it in its power. And then what are we going to do with it when instead of me having a hold of it, it's got a hold of me? Young people, make good decisions in your life, and you'll spare yourself so much heartache. You'll spare yourself so much grief if you deal with these things in its infant stage and make a good decision by the grace of God to help you to be able to overcome, to have the right thoughts, the right intentions. Deal with those things like that and don't get those things in your mind. They say what happens in the mind, that there's a chemical release, some endorphins or something, that is called a pleasure sense that you have, that everybody has. And that's why there's addictions to things that's other than chemical. There can actually be addictions to looking at things that stimulate you in some way. And you all are adult enough to know what I'm talking about. And it's rampant in our world. And it does all these things, and it might look like a harmless little thing to start with, but you get your mind stuck in on there, and then you become a slave to something that's bigger and more powerful than you are, and you could have dealt with it when it was an infant and it didn't mean much, and you could have got victory over it, but now it becomes an enormous monster in your life that destroys your sense of what's right, your outlook on others. It destroys what you have in life, your family, your relationship. It destroys a lot of things. Your own integrity and honor is destroyed by something that's too big to deal with now. I say that in this way. There is always a power to deal with it. That is what Jesus came to do, was to deal with a power that's bigger than we are. But there is places that we come to that the Lord has an expectation that we go on and deal in our hearts and in our minds about things as they come up. As we're living for the Lord, we shouldn't entertain thoughts that are unlike God, that are unlike Christ. We shouldn't entertain those thoughts, but deal with them in the beginning stages. You all have multiflora rose around here? You know what a multiflora rose is? I haven't seen any around here, so I don't know that you have them. Up home, we have multiflora rose, it's called. It was a rose bush that was brought in that was made for a hedge. It's an incredible briar, thorny bush briar type, and it fans out, and it's got long thorns on it, and it was made for fence rows. It was made to actually make fences. You would plant this, and it would stay there, and they brought it in because they thought they had developed it in a way that it couldn't spread. So in other words, if I plant this for a fence row, I mean, cattle couldn't get through it. Nothing could get through it once it blows out. So it was made to do that, to have it be an awesome fence. And that's what they designed it for. But they kind of miscalculated it a little bit. And after people start getting it in there and it'd get all of its berries on it and stuff, they found out that the berries, the seeds would grow. Now, they're just a little old thing. But they didn't seem like they would grow. And so they thought that they couldn't spread other than where you planted them. But the mistake was that if it went through a bird's digestive system, then it kicked the germination in. And you know birds are just more than willing to do what they do. And they just go and eat them. And now we just anywhere you go. In West Virginia, it's an epidemic of multiflora rose everywhere, and you have to deal with them in your field and your yards and all that. And they're not too hard to deal with when they're about that big. You can go in and get a hold of them and pull them out, and they ain't too much. Boy, I want to tell you something. You let them things grow into a bush. You've got to get in to get them, and you can't hardly get in to get them. They're just over, and the thorns are long, and they're tough, and they're hard to deal with, and they keep coming back, and they're a nuisance around there. And, you know, they started with a thing that just, if I had it holding it here, you couldn't see it. It was that little. It doesn't seem like much, but it'll come to be a great difficulty in life. The time to deal with these kind of things is when they're small. When you have the idea of an odd against you and your brother, I would recommend that you straighten that thing out as quickly as you can. The Scripture says, not let the sun go down on your wrath. Now, why did the Scripture give such a admonition? Because it's better to take care of it before you have time to stew. Before it has time to embed, before it has time to do it. The best time to do it is just as quickly as you can get it done. If you need to apologize or you need to deal with it or find out the problem, the best thing to do is do it as quickly as you can to get that thing out of there so that it don't infect everything that's around it. I want to look at a scripture over in James. Oh, let's see, first chapter of James. I'd like to tell one more story. I've told this many times, and you've probably heard me tell it, but it's such a touching story to me. It was of a young girl that was a high school age. She was a freshman in high school. She was a straight-A student, and I believe she was a band member. All those things in high school that young people get involved in. Came from a good family, God-fearing family. And everything seemed to be going well. Went in high school. And she looked and she saw this senior. Good-looking young man. Popular. She fell for him. Well, isn't that what young people do? And nothing unnatural about that, but there's a battle in the mind. Is that a good thing to do? Not always. She looked and she was smitten. Found herself at a park one day and other students around there, and she was at there, and they started, and just now they pulled out some marijuana and started smoking. And passes it to her. No, she says, I don't do that. Aw, goody two shoes. Well, you too good to smoke with us? What do you, peer pressure kicked in. She resisted for a while. But this young guy was appealing and he was there. And she gave in to it. Peer pressure. You know, peer pressure is just a battle in your mind. That's all it is. Those peers of yours is no more confident, really. They're no more better than you are. They're no different. It's a peer pressure that's something that it's not really not what it is. It comes off like something, but it's the insecurity of that and all. It's a battle of the mind. Oh, Lord, help our young people and the peer pressure. I like to see peer pressure. I would. I like to see a lot of peer pressure. I don't know why peer pressure can't work the other way. How come it seems like when somebody gets rebellious against God, peer pressure the other way don't seem to work? How come a lot of the saints living for God, or the young people living for God, doesn't seem like it has the same effect as negative peer pressure does? Well, maybe it's the nature of things, I guess. This young woman, though, was by peer pressure. And so she starts going out and smoking some marijuana. But it didn't happen all of a sudden, folks. You have to realize it didn't happen all of a sudden. Her grades didn't immediately fall. She didn't immediately become rebellious against her parents. She didn't immediately change. It started a process. You don't know, and I don't know, and nobody's wise enough to know exactly what the decisions of our life will lead us to. Can you honestly say you know what every decision will end up being? I don't know. I've done things before that ended up certain ways that I didn't think it would be. We don't know, but on every trail into our lives, it will lead you somewhere. And only God knows. But this young girl, what is a ninth grader? 14? 15 years old? It's pretty young, isn't it? And she made a decision to go along. By the time she's a junior in high school, she's doing various different drugs regularly. Her grades went from A's to F's, and she's failing. And now her parents are concerned, and the way parents are that love their children and stuff is trying to take corrective measures and find out what happened and what happened to our sweet little girl, and their hearts are broken and they're trying to do things, so they start restricting her. So she starts climbing out the window, doing those kinds of things. You see a different picture. You see a picture of an innocent. You know, all over this nation tonight, there's young people and it's at that place. All over the world. There's young people coming to that place of making those kind of decisions. They're going to, and all it is a little inkling of the mind. It'd be so easy right there at that time to do it different. But this is where they go. This young girl ended up one night, snuck out of the house. Parents didn't know where she was. They went to an abandoned house. They're in there doing some drugs. And drugs ain't always what they're supposed to be. And this drug reacted wrong. It was a bad drug. And this girl lays dying on the floor of an abandoned house. And her friends was there. They couldn't stay. They couldn't stay for the authorities because drugs involved and all that. So they did call for help and run. And the help got there, and the young girl nearly dead. And they picked her up, took her to the hospital, get her parents. Now her parents is there. She's nearly out of it. She lived. It wasn't by much, but she lived. 17 years old. Dying of a bad drug. And the mother said, my desire is to help my daughter have as much quality life as she can have. Because this was a life-changing event that this young girl got to. And I told that story because it was touching to me and because it seemed so easily not to have went down that path at the time she went. But by the time she gets 17, I'm going to tell you something. It's hard to get rid of. It doesn't leave easily. You can't just ground her now. You can't just do that. Something has caught hold now. It's become a big battle now. And Lord help you and I to realize that we're not any different in the sense that we got to deal with the thoughts of our minds too. We've got to deal with what we have to deal in the battles of our mind. It's always the battle of our minds. Somebody says something to me, it doesn't really mean anything. It's just a battle of my mind is what it becomes. How I respond, whether there's hatred in my heart, or whether I can still love them, or what I can do. It's still a battle of my mind. Can I love them that hate me? Yes, I can. But I got to get a hold of that. If I allow that to become a real hatred. Well, it's hard to get hatred out of there. It's hard to really deal with it when it gets big. My recommendation tonight, I believe it's of the Lord. Deal with these issues. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Deal with the issues that come into your life. If you need to grab your pastor, if you need to call somebody for prayer, whatever you need to do, and bring that thing to light and deal with that issue, you'll be better off than you did. You'll be much better off that you did. And listen, don't think they're going to ridicule you. We all know what this thing about. It's about a battle in our hearts, our minds. And don't let it get big. Deal with it. You think a brother said or something to deal with? Ask, go to him. I'm not saying stir trouble. I'm talking about dealing with an issue. Don't let it become a gigantic mountain or a big thing. Lord, help us. James 1 and 12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brother." He's talking about the idea, I think within every man is more than enough of a potential for every sin that there ever is. It isn't God that does it. It's in the nature of man. And it says that when lust is conceived, what is the end of that thought? If it's not dealt with in its smallness, when that lust, that passion, the desire, whatever it is conceived, what is it that we're to do with that thought? When something happens and is a temptation to lie, maybe you never faced it. I remember facing it. I'm big enough to tell you. I know a situation. Boss had a job one time and gave me the job. When he gave me the job, he told me, "Marty, I bid this thing too close. There's no error here to be made, because if we don't do it. Efficiently and well, we're not going to make money on it." And, well, the company, well, that's what we're supposed to do, make money on it and do that. And so he said, no room there. Well, we got out one day. We worked on the job, come back. We'd hardly run any footage. We tried to average about 5,000 foot of survey line a day. We got out there, and we didn't get nowhere close to that. And if I'm not mistaken, there was a mistake made, and we even went the wrong way. So the boss looks at the map the next day and says, with all the men around, and says, "Marty, what's this?" Well, I feel like I've just kind of had a gift in my life of being able to say a whole lot of nothing if I need to. So I started off with telling it, and when I got through, it was quite a deal. I said everything but what the real reason was. Now, technically, there was no lie involved with it. I didn't just up and lie about it. But I was embarrassed about the whole thing, and I did not tell him what he was after. And after I said that, and I knew the guys I worked with the day before was all standing around here. It was one of those deals. And I turned and went to walk away, and I took a few steps. And the Lord reproved me and said, "You're going to leave it like that?" I heard that. And I turned back around and I said, "No, I'm not." Is anybody looking at me? And I said, "I'll tell you, I'm sorry. We did not do the job you sent us out there to do. We fooled around. We didn't get the time in. And I'm sorry. Take responsibility for it. But the truth is, we goofed off." Well, the boss was just like, and the men were too. They just couldn't believe that I just said that. I'm going to tell you, I felt about this big. But I'm going to tell you, on my way home from work that day, the Lord met with me, and I was so glad. If I would have went home not of doing that, I'm going to tell you, that would have wore on me. I had to do it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I had to do it. It's just a matter of what it's going to have to take to get me to do that. And you know, it was a lot easier doing it in the few seconds that it took me to turn back around than to let that thing fester and get to be a great big thing. And all of a sudden, and you know, if I'd have started, and another thing too, if I'd have started justifying, and I didn't really lie, and I didn't really do anything wrong, and we do better next time, and I'll make it all better, I could have built a great big thing in my mind, and been a great big thing, and now I'm going to have to deal with it in its power, when I could have dealt with it in its weakness. When This scripture says when lust is conceived, when it's thought of, when it first comes, when the temptation's there, when the environment's there, when all of that situation is there, when that is conceived, if that thing is acted on, it's going to bring forth sin. There's going to be a place that there is no gray area here. You can't say, and we're not talking about gray areas. We're not talking about a temptation being sin here. But the battle of our minds is that. A battle of our minds. And where are we going to let it go? And what are we going to think about? And how are we going to live our life? That's what this is about. The battle that I have that goes on and rages in my mind about these kind of things. Most of the time, these things that we're battling with can be easily defeated at the start. But they're not so easily defeated after they get to be grown into a big thing. Another scripture over in 2 Corinthians. First verse of the 10th chapter says, "Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Tough places. Places that's grown to be more. We don't war after the flesh. To think of getting into a fleshly argument. People think sometimes it's like one of the writers said, commentary writers, said it's like changing a man's spirit by an argument is like trying to tear a wall down with words. Well, I'll just try it. In other words, you're arguing against the wall. Try to argue down a wall. Try to break down a brick wall with an argument, with a word. Throw a word at it. Well, you can't change somebody's mind by what you say. Arguments don't work. Fleshly things don't work. But it says here that we don't war that way. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. What is that? A thought, maybe? I wonder if imagination's a thought. You got an imagination? Do you ever run through your days of with imagination? Do you ever run what the future is with imagination? Well, this has happened, and this is what's going to come of it, and you got a long imagination about that? If you ever got into a string of imaginations and thoughts that wasn't what the Lord would have you to do at all, and you keep wondering about, well, this and this and this and what and about, and it's an imagination. I was in a situation one time, and I thought about what could I do, and I didn't know what to do, and how am I going to do it, and I finally come to a conclusion through imaginations. I imagined it this and this, and well, this is the way, and I thought that was the right way to do it. And this is the way I do it. And I still remember when the Lord come to me and challenged me. I'd been reading some of the books and about the saints that's gone by, Brother Fred and Brother Allen and Brother Sam's, and these ones that had written these books and had these high places where they had faced the temptations of their life and faced loss of materials and faced all these things and were godly through it all. And it was a challenge, and I love to read it because it's inspiring. And the Lord challenged me this way. Take your situation and write a book that you would want the Faith Publishing House to print and give it to all the saints. And you're the character in the plot. And you do it just like you would want. And you know, I started in my mind writing this story. And my imagination wasn't even close to what I should have wrote. The Lord challenged me with that idea of what would you want your testimony and what would the testimony of a godly man in Christ be in this situation. And I found out it wasn't what my imagination was saying. But this scripture helps us to know that in our weapons of our warfare, we can cast down imaginations, thoughts, right here between my ears. That's where it's all battling at. This is where I contrive it. This is where I see it. This is where it all happens at, right here in my mind. Lord, help us in our minds. It's where I get my sweetness or my bitterness. In my battle of my mind. It's the why I act to you. Either I greet you with enthusiasm or I'm standing back. Understand what I'm saying? That's where these things are developed at, right here in my mind. If I have something against you and I say, I'll play this thing out. I'll play it out this way. They've hurt me and I want them to know it. I'm too much of a man to call them up and tell them. I'm too spiritual to let them know it, see? So I'll just let them feel it. If we develop it right here, getting the victory of it, then we can go get the victory and we can go on and greet enthusiastically as a loving brother. But you let that thing play and lose the battle in your mind, and when lust is conceived, it will bring forth sin eventually. It will bring forth sin. Folks, there is a adding to. And it's why many people get to be up in years. Up in years. And never have conquered because they keep losing the battle of their mind. And so things begin to add on. I remember back in the 1960s, saints didn't treat me right. And in the 70s, now there were some more. And in the 80s, there was a couple. Do you know what? I love the saints and you're my people and I all together. But if you think I've always been treated right, you're wrong. I haven't been. But it don't keep it. I know that people make mistakes and people tried to help and didn't know what they was talking about. And some people just was vicious. But it doesn't mean anything because I got a victory. In my mind, that's all where it's at. Do you know you really can't take my salvation from me? You don't have that much power. You can't keep me from having victory. You can't keep me from having joy. If your words can keep me, then you're a powerful person. But you don't have that power unless I give it to you through the lust of my mind, the temptations that I have about the thing. Another time I was on the job and there was some things that was going and I really felt like that the boss was wrong about some things and what he was doing. And the men were up in arms about it and they would mention it to me. And there was times that I'd say, well, I think you're right. Well, seems that way to me. And finally they was at a place and they said something to me and I told them, I said, well, I'm going to tell you the way I look at it. I said, I'm not going to let it bother me. I'm not going to let it take my peace. I said, if I did, I would be giving him power over my whole life to make me happy or unhappy or peaceful or dreadful, or I'm not going to relinquish that to anybody. Boy, they looked at me, and later one of them said that they had. He said that about me. I'm saying it was the Lord, but he said about me. He said I have more confidence in that guy than anybody I know because of that incident. He said that's the way it ought to be. We're letting it totally disturb us, and he said that ain't going to bother him. You know, it didn't bother me. Because I dealt with the idea of it in mind and found out that it was trivial. And I'm not going to pay that much for unhappiness. It wasn't worth it. So I just went on and said, I'll just do what I'm paid to do. I'll just go on and do it and let it go and give it to the Lord. It was a battle of my mind that I come out on top. I saw the other guys not come out on top. But it's a battle in our minds. The boss says one year, he gave everybody $50 Christmas bonus. It was seven of us working at the time. It wasn't a big company. And it was seven of us, so he gave us all $50 bonus. Well, the years before, we got hundreds of dollars of Christmas bonus and all that. And the guys were so disappointed. When they got their $50 Christmas bonus, they went to murmuring and complaining and said, well, if he was only going to give $50, why didn't he just keep it? And I said, well, hey, you guys, if anybody's offended to the point that they want to just give it up, just I'll be glad to take it for you. I mean, but you know what I did instead? I went to the boss and thanked him. He didn't have to give me $50. I didn't do a minute's work for it. I went to the boss and sat down in the chair in the office and said, I just wanted to come in and tell you that I appreciate you giving us the Christmas bonus. I thought it was big of you to do it. And he told me what the other ones didn't get. He said, Marty, that's all the money we got. I split all the money we had among you. And I said, well, you didn't have to, because 7 times 50 is 350, and you could have put it in your bank account. You didn't have to give it to us, and I appreciate it. But see, I won a battle. I won a battle. I'll be honest with you, I was a little disappointed too, because sometimes you make plans for what you think, and it don't work. But there's a battle, and it goes on right between your ears, and that's where the battle's at. It's better to deal with it. Win the battle of your mind. Then you can go on and be... See, I was able to win the battle and go and bless the boss. You can bless people and it'll make a difference. But you got to win the battle. Over in Isaiah, there's a scripture, Isaiah 5. It says, woe unto them, in the 18th verse, 5th chapter, woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin as it were with a cart rope. It's talking about the ever lengthening, the ever adding to sin. Sin doesn't stay where it's at. You can't have that in your heart and keep it singular by itself. It won't stay there. If you keep going with sin, you're going to go deeper and deeper and deeper until it utterly destroys you. You will go into the place. Do you know that there is people that go so far into sin that they literally destroy themselves and don't care? They deliberately cut themselves, hurt themselves, drug themselves, do anything. They don't care that they're destroying themselves. Sin gets them to that point. And the idea of this scripture, the cart rope, is a rope that can't be broken now. But it starts out a fiber at a time. This is the idea. You take a fiber and start weaving it. You know, you can break it there. The analogy, the allusion is to a spider web. It's almost transparent and very easily broken. You can just pull a spider web and break it. But as it weaves and weaves, it becomes stronger. And if you had enough spider webs, as thin as it is, they say per weight, a spider web is stronger than steel per weight. You get enough spider webs and cord it and becomes a cart rope, it's hard to break. It's almost impossible, and it keeps lengthening and adding to one thing after another. It is the nature of sin. If you don't conquer the attitudes of your mind, they'll conquer you. And you will become disillusioned with other people. We see it all the time in those that go away. What is one of the first things they do? They start finding fault with the ones that are still there. It happens the same way. Almost every time it happens the same way. They start getting disillusioned. Things start happening. They don't win the victories of their mind. They start getting disillusioned. And the cart rope keeps growing and growing and growing and getting bigger. And it starts affecting every relationship and attitude that they have. And you can't be right because they're not. Lord, help us. Well, you say, I'd never be there. I'm right here. You know, you can stay right here and still have bad attitudes. Or things that's not conquered in your heart and in your mind. And they begin to get more and more and more. And you say, I want to go to heaven. Many people have said it. I think that before I die, I want to make my peace with God. It's just that I want to go have some fun now. I want to live my life. I want to do what my thing. I don't want to get too serious about it. And one of these days before I die, well, I'll get saved. You know, that ain't even close to true. For the most times, people that say that, the old cart rope gets the strong, they don't even think they can be saved at the end of it. They look and say, I've seen a lot of old people, and it's a shame. They get old, and you try to say something about the Lord to them, and they'll just say, yeah, there's no reason now. I know one old woman that said I've lived 80 years this way. Lived 80 years the way I've lived, smoked, gambled, lived a life like his. No reason to me to start talking religion now. Down at the last days of their life, moments of their life, and just say, there ain't no use in trying to do something like that. I didn't live that way. I'm not going to die that way. Realizing that all of those things that they allow to build just gets to be stronger and stronger. Do you know the Lord can still, it takes the Lord, but the Lord can still break the cart rope. But you can't deal with it. And for us as a saved, we don't want to get in those kind of places. What does it take then to have faith? You know, it takes faith to be saved. This is where it's really at. The Lord can save anybody if you can have faith to believe. You can't be saved without faith. And when you get beyond your ability to have faith, you can't be saved, because it takes faith to be saved. It's why somebody that has got had a lot of failures, I've dealt with them a lot. They've had a lot of failures. They failed on a line, and then they failed on a line again, and they failed on a line again, and they failed on a line again, and maybe over and over, camp meetings come, and they want to be saved, and they come up to get saved, and sometimes they run right into a wall, right at the altar. You know what the wall is? They can't believe. I failed so many times, I can't believe I can be forgiven. I can't believe that I'm going to do better this time than I did the last time. And they run into, they can be saved. All it takes is having faith. If they believe that the Lord can save, God can save them. But what if they get till they can't believe? Lord, help us. Can I be saved if I can't believe? The Lord's going to have to help me to be able to believe again. Lord, help us to deal with this idea of my mind. No matter what anybody else is doing, folks, we need to keep our thoughts right with the Lord. Lord, I'll be willing. Jesus went to the garden, and he prayed, not my will. That's where the battle is at. That's depicted for us. Well, Jesus saying, not my will. Here's a battle. He wasn't on the cross. He was thinking about it. And he got victory over it in his mind. He come to the place that he surrendered it all. All the future, all that his duty was, all that he gave it to God. Not my will, but thy will be done. And he was ministered to, and you never see that behavior out of the Lord again. The victory was won. He won the battle of his mind. And he had the victory to go on and do the perfect will of God because he won the battle in his mind. Oh, Satan tried to bring battle to his mind. There was a time where the devil come when he's fasting. Do you remember? Where was the battle being? Well, it was out in the wilderness. No, it wasn't. It was right in here. The devil was saying things like, turn this stone to bread. That's where it was at. Do I do it? No, I don't. Oh, climb up there and jump up. No, don't do that either. Look at the whole world. I'll give it to you if you worship. No, I won't do that either. He won the battle that waged in his mind. He got the victory over every one of those situations. And so are we to battle. It would be better if we would realize that it's a battle of my mind, and I need to keep my mind in peace with God. I need to keep the victory right there. And then the rest of the battle, let the Lord deal with the natural events of life, but that's my battle. Lord, help me not to be in a spirit of fear. Fear is a battle. Anybody in here ever get fearful? I'm telling you, it's a battle of the mind to fight that. What's going to happen? My children get sick sometimes, and it isn't just a sickness. It's the battle. Old devil comes and says, well, they'll never get better. Well, I don't know, maybe he says that to you. He says it to me. And in my mind, I can have some imaginations, and I battle something that isn't even real sometimes. It's in my mind. And I get the victory. And Lord bless us. But it's a battle of our mind. I want to look at one more scripture. Oh, let's see. 2 Samuel, I think. We all know this story very well. 11th chapter of 2 Samuel says, "And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab, his servants, with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon, and beseeched Rabbath." But David, that has some meaning to it. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. David, what you doing? You got a battle going on in your mind. I'm going to suppose here a little bit. A possibility. Maybe he was tired. It was a time that kings supposed to be at war, but David tarried at Jerusalem. It sounds like that his duty should have been doing what he was called to do, but he didn't do it. Why didn't he do it? Why wasn't he in the place that he should have been? Was he discouraged? Was he feeling depressed? No need to do it. I don't need to do it. Was he being lazy? Was he being indifferent with his experience? Don't know what it was, but I'll tell you this. It was a battle. It started, folks, David's problems all started with a battle in his mind. He's battled against what he should be doing and what he was doing. And I don't know what caused him to be there altogether, but it was a battle in his mind. And it came to pass in the evening tide that David arose from off his bed. I don't know what a guy in any kind of a position other than just, down and gone, and he wasn't there, what he was doing on the bed in the evening tide. But here was David. I tell you, there was a battle in his mind, and he was losing the battle. And it says that he got off his bed and walked up in the roof's house. From the roof, he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. Oh! Do you know there was nothing more than the beginning stages, the thoughts? This is a battle. The thought came for him, a better inquire. That says something to me. Folks, don't inquire. We have standards for a reason. There's a reason why we do it. It's a reason why we have the boundaries that we have. It's a reason of understanding to know that I cannot control my own passion and heart if I step outside the bounds of the Lord. Lord, help us to do it. There's no reason for me to say, I can expect in any place the Lord leads me, takes me, or has me to go, that God's got grace enough to keep me in my life. Believe it. It's all at work. But there's no reason for me to think that if I put myself into harm's way by my own want and desire to be there, that the Lord's going to give me that grace to stay out of something I want to be doing. It won't happen. David got himself into a place and that he wanted to inquire. That is a thought. I wonder who she is. I wonder about it. Well, maybe there was something that would have been okay in his time about that. But then it's answered. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba the daughter of Eliam?" And then here's a really key part. "The wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messages and took her. Now here we go. Up to this point. Imaginations. Thoughts. Infant stages. I'm going to ask you something about this situation now. Wouldn't that have been an easy place to stop? Wouldn't that have been a good place when he said that's the wife of Uriah? That have been a good place to stop? Wouldn't that have been a good place for him to remember the victories of the Lord? Maybe bless, pray, fasted, do whatever he did to get his battle of his mind took care of. It would have been a place. I would say that he could have got there fairly easy. But here's another question. At what point do you stop after he gets started? It's a hard stop, ain't it? Here we go. He takes another man's wife. And then he goes on. And then events start happening. He goes on. And now he's got to start covering. You notice there's a an idea here of a cart rope developing in the life of David. One twine at a time. One thought at a time. When lust has conceived, it was conceived in his mind. Lust was conceived in his mind when he looked. Lust was conceived when he didn't turn his head. Lust was conceived in these things, but he hasn't went over it yet. But then he starts building the cart rope. One thread at a time, he builds an enormous cart rope for his life. At what point does he say, I've had enough, I stop, and I can get out of this? Do you see the entanglement that happens? Start doing things that you're ashamed of and see how big a man you are to just own up to it. It takes a lot to stand before everybody and say, I'm a terrible failure and I've not done it right and I need your all's prayer and help. It would be easier to say before it all got started, I need prayer, I've got some weak spots. It gets real hard to come down to the reality of it and say, I've lost it altogether, folks, and I'm wretched and miserable and I ain't what you thought I was. And now here goes David. You know, David ended up being an adulterer, a liar, and a murderer. He kept getting longer and longer, and the cord kept getting more and more. And where do you stop at? Oh, Lord, help us. Don't stop. Keep you clear. Keep battle it in the thought process, folks. Battle it in the thought process and get the victory in the thought. Get the victory over it. I know that there's going to be places that you're going to say, well, I think we let it go a little far. But I'm going to tell you, purpose to fight the battle at the thought process. The Scripture says about being offended, somebody help me out with that scripture. I'm thinking about that love thy law. Great peace. That's what I was looking for. Great peace have they which love thy law. And nothing. Now, I don't know how you think the definition of nothing is. But nothing shall offend them. Well, I know that there's things that are going to be. I'm going to tell you something about offense. Folks, we need to get a victory in our minds over offenses. Because it'll tear you down. You'll start losing confidence. It starts affecting all your life if you're not fair. It's not good. It's not healthy. It's not wise to go around offended. But it's in the mind that the offense is there. There is a forgiveness without someone asking. There's a victory over those things. Because it only tears you down. You can have unforgiveness in your heart, and the person that you're having unforgiveness about don't even know it. You're not hurting them. You're hurting yourself. Learn how to deal in your mind with these things. When you're offended, you're not at peace. You're not what you ought to be. You're not able to get. Lord, help us. I know offenses will come. The offenses will come, but I don't have to let them stay. There's an old saying about you can't keep a bird from flying over your head. But you don't have to let him make a nest there. And that's the idea of a thought. You can't help one flying in, but you don't have to harbor it. You don't have to keep it. Lord, give us victory over that. And you know, the Scripture actually says, and in closing, I'll say, it says in Philippians, there's a passage of Scripture in Philippians that tells us what to think. And on these things, think. And what are those things? Whatever is lovely. Whatever is pure. You mean I can substitute for something that's ugly and distasteful, I can substitute that with a lovely thought. Well, somebody didn't treat me right and I'm hurt. Oh, but I remember the time that brother called me right when I needed it. There's a beautiful thought waiting for you to have. And if there's anything true and if it's lovely and it's honest and it's of a good report, on these things think. And then you'll be so much better. And it'll win. It'll win the battle. The major battle. Probably really the battle that goes on with all of us. It's all in our mind. And when I win the victory of my mind, I'll win the victory of my actions. I never have done anything I didn't think about. It's first a thought, and then it's a reaction to the thought. And then it will help me to be able to say, I can look every one of you in the eye, because I love you, and I ain't talking bad about you, don't have any ill will against you, and I can do that because I've won the victories of my mind. You pray for me. I want to be